17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift, hallelujah, is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we have seen the meaning of that word, why he had to use the word gift twice. The first is doses, referring to the character or the attitude of the giver. And the other one is dorima, referring to the benefits on the recipient. And that says a good number of things about God. So what we have been looking at so far, and the reason why I took the lane, is to understand the nature and the ministry, the character of angels. The first thing we can see is that, and this plays it plays a major role in the Old Testament, was there was a confusing explanation on the role of angels. In Genesis 3, for example, the way you and I said that that's the mother of all this. Satan was somewhere. He was not somewhere. He was this. He was there. You know, it confused a lot of people to know who angels were and where they are. And we said, look, angels, therefore, they were created. No doubt, they were created. They were created. If they were created, they must have been in Genesis. If they were in Genesis, they must have been in a salient appearance. There, but not there. You know, and that's what brings about a whole lot of confusion. And this is going to be a bit more more detailed. Now, in Job 38:7, we've seen that the foundation of the earth was created, the sons of God, the morning stars were rejoicing. Genesis 2:1-2, gone into that. And in Genesis 3:1, the serpent was more subtle, Aram, like a man. That is, he acted prudently like a man in the garden. So obviously, if you hear Garden of Eden again, it's figurative. Alright? It's figurative. It's not literal. So, one thing we can see from what we read in Hebrews, in Jude 6 and 7, and 2 Peter 2:4, and 1 Timothy 5:21, amongst others, is that angels were not robots. Is that clear? I mean, look at that in the mind of God. You know, God is not a telegramming or someone. No, it's not like that. He in no way does he not give choice. You know, so now let's go into specifics, and that's the question we want to ask. I finished last session by saying that God doesn't relate with man directly. With angels directly. So I think the next question for us now, a critical issue, will be, who determines the ministry of angels? Who determines the ministry of angels? Now, you will know why we separated both. You know, it seems like the first session, we try to weed out, you know, Satan's and demons' origin. It will help as we explain other things now. So who determines the ministry of angels? Again, the key words. There are 4 words that will guide us. So we'll refer to Hebrews 1:7, Hebrews 1:13, and Hebrews 1:14. We have 4 words. The first one is lethorgos. Remember that one? Lethorgos. Which we can find in Romans 13:6, Hebrews 8:2 for Jesus, Romans 15:6 for Jesus. Remember? Okay? Philippians 2:25 for Timothy, Hebrews 8:2 for Jesus. Aha. Now we have diakonia, which is used several times for service. Okay? To serve, used for man. We also have ministering spirits, which is unseen, ministering spirit. They will have sent forth apostolomena to be commissioned to do something. Hebrews 1:14, them who shall be heirs of salvation. So, I guess one thing we have done, I want to believe we will achieve that, is to distinguish angels. Have we done that? Have we done that? So the angels who we call are fallen, are they in the same state? No. Right? They are in a status of darkness. Right? And of gloom. Okay? And they are disembodied. And the words that qualify them, the Cyrus we use, chains. Okay? The Zophos, all the words used, shows a state. Tataru shows a status. So now, since we've separated that, and Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Notice again, power of darkness. If these folks are in darkness, okay, and then there was authority used by the devil, Hebrews 2:14 and 15, okay, so we can readily call demons what? Angels of darkness. Does it make sense? Huh? Does it make sense? Okay. Now, who determines the ministry of angels? Again, we'll lay a foundation. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:26. What we saw in Hebrews 1:14 is that they were commissioned, apostolemena, they were commissioned to minister for ministering spirits, okay, liturgios, apostolemena, to minister, commissioned to ascend for, to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So let's investigate a bit of this. Genesis 1:26. You know, if you read Genesis, you will not think that angels were in man's dominion. You will know why it was like that soon. You know, you will know. It's because of that account, people have never thought that angels were under man's sphere of dominion. And more so, angels are primarily spiritual beings. So, again, because of the law of sin and death, there's this thinking that, oh, such beings are of a higher, you know, a higher importance, which is not so. Now, look at Hebrews 1. Sorry, Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, the word image is selem. T-S-E-L-E-M in the Hebrew is used 17 times. Image. You see it used for Adam. Genesis 5 verse 3. Genesis 9:6. I think I want us to read that Genesis 9:6. Why I'm not going into this in details because it's already in this series. Okay. Genesis 9:6. Don't ever start from not that you can't start from so great salvation 5. Start from 1. That's why it's called 1, 2, 3, 4. When you learned 1, 2, 3 in school, is it 5 you started from? Is it not 1? If you hear Lord Genesis 5, you start from 1. Is that not true? Uh-huh. Some people are starting. Okay. Who sheds blood by man shall be. So, whoever sheds man's blood by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Okay? For in the image of God made he man. The word selem is there. Then it says likeness, Hebrew word demuth, it means pattern. Now, again, we have said that this is a vision, and we must always clarify vision with words. Okay? Words clearly said. The New Testament. or the epistles. So, Colossians 1:15. Because in Genesis 5, anyway, Genesis 5:3 already tells you that Adam lived 130 years and begat in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So, already, that shows you, it's not contradictory. It's just telling you that whatever is Genesis 1:26-27 needs to be understood. Is it clear? Is that clear? So, how is it understood? Colossians 1:15, the Spirit of Truth. Talking about Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Because you use the word Selem and Demuth for something you cannot see, but can see it. I can't see, I can see it. I can't see, but I can see it. So what he's saying is that, how do I see what is not seen? Selem. To see what is not seen is image and likeness. So he calls Jesus the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Are you there? The image. So go to John 1:14. Put your hands in Colossians 1. John 1:14. Now, the previous text says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, the life was the light of men, the light shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't comprehend it. Now, 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Somehow I don't like that translation. You know, and God helping us in years to come when we have a translation. There are so many things that are going to change. So I will try and change some verses. The way it's some verses in 10 will be 11. If anybody likes, I'll change the verses. Or I'll be thinking, maybe you know verses. That would be lovely. It's a very good study. That won't have verses at all. Or we will need things like full stop. Right? That would be necessary, like full stop, comma. But no verses. So you'll be forced to read it. Because we cannot contribute to that. If we also want to do a translation, we should not put verses. And no chapters. That's my plan. No chapters, no verses. Amen. And no center reference. Because that event is based on which translation it is. I'm telling you. Okay. The word became flesh. Okay. That word became is genomai. 671 times it's used. It implies what happened. Something that happened. It's used for words like being, B-E-I-N-G, I-S, is, V, V-E, was. Much more detailed scholars call it a movement. That is, every time genoma is said, you know, if I am a man, right, will be a my in the Greek, E-I-M-I, just stating an obvious. But genoma shows that something happened, it's an experience. Okay? So when it says the word became flesh, it presupposes an accomplishment, a movement, an happenstance. Okay? So it presupposes what was and now is. That's the humanity of Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That's humanity explained. Colossians 1:15. Go back there. Is the image. Image there. It is the image. Is the word icon. E-I-K-O-N. You know we can have image when you just copy something. You copy it out. The way you go and do a photocopy. Mm-mm. This one is different. Icon was used by those who used to craft things. They will now superimpose. This way it's done. You take the image, I'll take the image of, say, Caesar. The minute I put the image of Caesar, his image itself, I'll put the image, this is Caesar's image, I'll now paste it on a surface. Paste it. So what I have on the surface is Caesar's image. So by the time you say, you take what I pasted and what I pasted upon, they'll be one and the same. You get it? That's icon. Okay? So when it says the image of the invisible God, you'll find that word in Colossians 3:10, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but more importantly, 2 Corinthians 4. If our gospel be hid, is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world, verse 4, has blended the minds of them that believe not, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Recall how often Jesus is called the image. It's not Adam. It's called the image. Now look at 18. What else is he called? Colossians 1. Colossians 1:18. So you have two is. He is. Please, are you there? Who is the image of the invisible God? And he is before all things. 17. He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things that he might have preeminence. So he mentions the church. So he is the head of the church. So let's go over it again. The image of God, obviously, why I have to use image will be that picture, as it were, coming on another surface. So image will now be God. If I say image of God, that will be God in a man. Do you understand? That's why it can't be Adam. Do you understand this? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a photocopy. Let's make mine our image will mean we will be made in man. Do you understand what I'm saying? We will be manifest in man. So the image is the person in another place. Does it make sense? Huh? Okay. The head. So, Hebrews 1:2. This is a very fundamental fact. He calls him the express image. Look at the word he calls him. Express image. One word. That's the word character. C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R. To reproduce exactly. It's not a duplicate. You know, a duplicate is this. Let me explain. I go into my computer. I want to print out a letter. I now print out a letter. Oh, okay, guys that print, you know this. I print out maybe a flyer. Okay? So that flyer has finished. The number of flyers. We've exhausted it. So I said, how can I do? You just have one more. I can only do a photocopy. So we'll go and photocopy. It is a flyer writer, right? It has, but it is not the same. Now, no, I don't have to photocopy now. Let's go and reproduce it. This is the plate. This is, just do more impressions. I will then reproduce, you know, whatever we do, and the first one is one and the same. That is character. Same thing as image. Image is what he did in man. Alright? That's the first image in Colossians 1:5. What he did in man. This second one is who he is. Okay? He's the character. That is, he's reproduced. His image. You can't find any other thing in man. That is, this is God in man. That is, let's say it in a way that I'm going to be careful what I'm going to say, but I hope you get it. Is God existing as a man? That this is God as a man. That's why Ginomai was used. God as a man. And this is a very fundamental fact of Christ. It's a fundamental, the humanity of Christ. Let me say this. The humanity of Christ in teaching the redemptive work of Jesus or teaching scriptural truth, it tilts more in importance than his deity. His deity is, it cannot be refuted. If you force it, it destroys the entire gospel. But you see, that is humanity. It tilts more. If you observe, when John was talking about the Antichrist, he upbraided, the way he pointed out the Antichrist was more of those who say he did not come in the flesh. He tilts more, because that is really the issue. People are looking for Antichrist all over the place. Think somebody will wake up from let me see one person's town here. It can't be Jebu because we believe in God. That's the one person's town. Someone's town. Maybe Ikorodu. No, Ikorodu is Jebu, sorry. How can I? I'm not finding anybody. Maybe Ibadan, yes. Ibadan. You know, the Antichrist is a teaching. In the same way we have used a man, because it's a figure of speech. The Antichrist is a teaching. That's why John says he's already in this world. And people are doing movies. The people doing movies are the ones doing Antichrist. They don't know. 1 John 2. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? Verse 22. He is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever has denies the Father, the same has done the Father. That's the Antichrist. And he says in verse 26, I write unto you concerning them that seduce you. So, look at how he mentions the Antichrist. In verse 18, let's say 18 together, 1 John 2. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. Even now, as there are many antichrists, whereby you know that it is the last time. There are many. Chapter 4. Try every spirit. Verse 2. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus come in the flesh is not of God. This is the of the antichrist. Well, you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So it's a teaching. 2 John, same thing. Verse 7. For many desire in the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. So, when you mention antichrist, it deals more with the humanity of Jesus. It's a fundamental truth. So, the facts of the gospel must be associated with man. Man. Look at 1 John 3. Sorry, 1 Timothy 3. Pay attention here, please. And without controversy, verse 16, 1 Timothy 3, 16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is so important. Sin justified in the spirit, sin of angels, preached on in the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Now, God was manifest. He says, great is the mystery of Godhead. Again, the word is, Ami, each A-E-I-M-I, used to for 2,479 times. He used for what exists. Now, but did you notice that there is like an antithesis here? And up one and opposite. Great, watch this, is the mysterion of godliness, sorry. Look at it again. Great is the mystery of, that's mysterion, of godliness. God was made manifest. Is that not the opposite? Hallelujah. Now, follow this. This is not, the word God, godliness there is not Godhead. People have used it to explain that that's how we don't know the Godhead. No, no, no. It's not talking about the Godhead. The word here is godliness. Okay? We'll come to Hebrews in a moment. The word here is godliness, not Godhead. I'll explain Godhead in a moment. Godliness here is a different word. And let's see it. Look at Acts 3. Whenever godliness is used, it's used about man. It's for man. Acts 3:12. It's talking about devotions. Acts 3:12. To devote unto God our own power or holiness. To devote unto. Okay? 1 Timothy 2, we will live our lives in godliness. 1 Timothy 2, 2. 1 Timothy 2, 2, which is important anyway because that's the same book. In all godliness, used for serving God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. Godliness is profitable unto all things. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. Not according to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Verse 5. Supposing that gain is godliness, that you serve God for money. That is a lot in the body of Christ today. Verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 11. Follow after righteousness. Godhead and faith, sorry, godliness, love, patience, and meekness. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of Godhead, sorry, godliness, but denying the power thereof, but from such turn away. Titus 1:1, which is after godliness. 2 Peter 1:3, that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3, 2 Peter 1:6, 2 Peter 1:7, then 2 Peter 3:11. All in all holy conversation and godliness. It is used for man's worship towards God. Is used for devotions. Used 15 times. Here's the word Eusebelia. E-U-S-E-B-E-L-I-A. From Eusebius. E-U-S-E-B-E-S. Devotion to God. Things. Actions. It's talking about actions. Actions. However, the word Godhead, you'll find it as the word Theos. T-H-E-O-I. O-S. That's divine. T-I-O-S. T-H-E-I-O-S. Remember Acts 17:29, when Paul was among those guys in Athens. Then he said to them, Think he, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold. That's Godhead. Theos. Theos. Divine. That's the word divine. Interestingly, it was used by Peter as well. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power. 2 Peter 1:3 and 4. So, the word Eusebius, where you got hyssopia, you find it in Acts 10:2 and 7, is also used for unbelievers. Acts 10:2 and 7, the man Cornelius, he had devotion. A devout man, a man given to worship and service. That's the word Eusebius. Acts 10:2 and 7. Then 2 Peter 2:9. 2 Peter 2:9. The godly out of temptation. Godly, those who serve. So we have Theios, where you are from divine. So when it says great is the mystery, look at it again, of approaching God. That is, approaching God was a mystery. How to approach God. But say, with all those books, it was a mystery. How to approach God was a mystery. Great, in fact, he calls it great, is a mystery. The approach towards God was hidden. 1 Timothy 3 and 16. God was manifest. Let's look at the words, because that's what I'm going to. The key word there is manifest, because the way you can unlock a mystery will be what? That means all along, they were worshipping someone they did not see, they didn't know. So God was manifest, okay? Then justified, seen of angels, mark this. That means all along, the mystery, I told you, whatever man doesn't know, angels don't know. So, seen of angels means that their first encounter to know God will be when God was manifest. Someone following this? I've told you, God does. Let's go further. Preached on into the world, or built on into Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received in glory. So look at the word manifest. Is the word pheneroo, pheneroo, made visible by light, hallelujah, to appear. Interestingly, where did God first appear? In the flesh. So, God's, all those theophanic stories, is just bedtime stories. God's first pheneroo was in the flesh. That's why John will tell you, no man has seen God at any time. Hallelujah. Amen. So so when we say the image of God, you can imagine, you can know why it's not Adam now. Huh? Is it clear? Okay. So he's justified in the spirit. That's the resurrection. Look, notice the first thing. Was manifest in the flesh. Christ's incarnation. Then, justified where? In the spirit. That would be what? The resurrection. Justified in the spirit. So, it was after the resurrection. This is very key. That it was now seen of who? Hallelujah. Somebody following this? You will see that even in the four gospels, we are going to see, tomorrow we are going to study everywhere angel is in the Bible. It's an exciting study. Do you know that even in the four gospels, they were just as dummies as the apostles? It was seen of angels. So angels are limited in man. So let's go to 1 Peter 1. Are you learning something? Hallelujah. Verse 12. Unto whom it was first revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, with things the angels desire to look into. Look at it though. They desire to look. Now, that word desire is a Greek word, epithumeo. E-P-I-T-H-U-M-E-O. E-P-I-T-H-U-M-E-O. Now, what are they desiring to look into? Into the gospel we are preaching. Somebody following this? Look at that word desire. Go to Matthew 13:17. Remember Jesus said that all the prophets and kings, they desire. It's the same thing, you know? They desired to look into. Look at that word, look into. The two words are important. Parakupto is the word. P-A-R-A-K-U-P-T-O. It means to look intently so that you will find out something. Luke 24 verse 12. John 20 verse 5 and 11. Parakupto. James 1:25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Remember the issue that he will not forget. So he's looking to learn. Then 1 Peter 1:25. So why are they looking into the gospel? So when you are teaching, see, this is important though, because when you are teaching, you are also teaching angels. You can imagine. So you will see that some angels are more informed than others, depending on which church they attend. It's not a joke, oh. No, but is it not clear that they desire to look into it? Into the gospel that we preach. Hallelujah. Is that in the past or today? Today. Now, notice it says, they look into a word. Is that what we preach there? Is it the four gospels or post-resurrection? Because that's where you can get the gospel. So, let me ask you. Can you trust the words or actions of any angel? You can't answer. Can you? You can't. You cannot trust the words, not just actions, even the words of angels. Now, if look up, please. This is where we are going. We first lay foundation. If this is the state of angels today, what was it before? Because 1 Peter 1:12 is definitely today. It's not saying that they have seen it, to say they desire. The same word in Matthew 13:17, something that you are still trying to look at it. So, 2,000 years now, they are looking. Pay attention. Go to Ephesians 3:10. Ephesians 3:10. Are you there? Alright, let's read it together. To the intent, and now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly. Hallelujah. Okay, in the heavenly. Okay? Might be made known by who? Where are these in the heavenly? Okay, things in the spirit are learning from you on earth. Might be made known by the church. Look at the word made known. It's used 25 times. It's the Greek word gnorizo. G-N-O-R-I-Z-O. It means to inform or to discover. Paul used it in this same letter. See where he used it. Ephesians 3:3. That by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. It's used to uncover a mystery. Ephesians 3:3. Ephesians 3:5. In other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Gnorizo. Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Ephesians 6:19. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Ephesians 6:21. To make known to you all things. So, men in the spirit, in that context, heaven, that means you will not see them in your service. They are learning. They are studying. Because that is how angels were created. They are learning. Look, notice this. The mystery of the gospel is explained to them. What then was their state? What was their state before now? Hallelujah. What could be their state? Do you notice that the same way he said it was not made known to people in the ages past? So, you can see that man's ignorance is the angel's ignorance. Man's ignorance. So when you say, I have not seen, just put angels there too. He has not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. You know, if it has not entered into man's heart, angels can't have it. Hallelujah. Let me see if you are following this. Is this getting clear to you? Don't forget we have believing. Now, what are we discussing here? Demons or believing angels? Did I see that? Demons or good angels? Let me spare you the believing part. In the years to come, we'll explain that. Demons or good angels? Angels of light. That means they are learning. Glorizo. Made known. He now says the manifold wisdom. Do you know that he doesn't use that word manifold except for them? He uses singular wisdom for believers. He uses manifold wisdom for angels. Manifold is from the word, is a short one single word actually. Poliopoikilos, P-O-L-U. Poly means many. P-O-L-U, P-O-I. K-I-L-O-S. P-O-L-U, P-O-I, K-I-L-O-S. It's used in Greek language for a cloth, just one single cloth, but different colors, just like what I'm wearing. It's called a polypoikilos, you know, different colors, just one. Then that means we examine the colors differently. Okay? Polus many, poikilos times, many times. So what could he be talking about? That means there are subjects they need to learn. Subjects. Insight into Christ. Concerning the resurrection. Concerning marriage. Concerning giving. It's the same gospel, but we have to give them insights. Insights. Insight. So either two, they acted based on man's level of understanding. Are you there? Are you following? So can we say that angels are programmed to learn? Huh? Will we say to that? They are programmed to what? Learn. They will learn. So you see that at redemption, God Who did God put in charge of, this is a very careless thing I'm going to say, but of the spiritual growth of angels. Or maybe the enlightenment of angels. Some angels are suffering. Enlightenment. So you can't place an angel wiser than man. Because all he uses are man's wisdom. We'll see it. Look at Psalm 103, verse 20, a quick one. Imagine how some of us, we've read scriptures for several years, we will use them to get results. Then when it's not explained to you, you now say, can't imagine how angels will now feel. Hallelujah. Okay. He says, bless the Lord, yea, his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken to the voice of his word. Two things. He says, to the voice of his word. Now, the word voice is the word koil in the Greek, Hebrew, Q-O-L. It means sound. 507 times. They only hearken to what? Sound. Something must be said. Sound. The voice of his word. The word there is Dabar, D-A-B-A-R, used for speech 1,441 times in the Hebrew. The word to hearken means to listen, to obey, used 1,160 times to obey. Is the word Shama. S-H-A-M-A, to listen, to obey. Pay attention here. It says they excel in strength. That word excel is not like excellent. No. It's the word gibor. G-I-B-B-O-R. Used for warring, to fight. Can you imagine? Their strength is in. What is they excel in strength? Couch in the Hebrew, K-O-A-C-H, 125 times was strength. So they listen. Okay? Now who gives a sound in the earth? Man. Okay? Now notice this. I wrote this in my notes, very funny. I said, if you put all this together that I've given you, hearken, word, voice, there are about 3,000 things. This word I used 3,000 times in the Old Testament. Both the word voice, word, obey, hearken, warrior, strength. That means there are 3,000 words, 3,000 things in the Old Testament that could make angels act. I don't think you understand. You know, why, when we say Satan left his first estate, is because he was not listening to man. If he was, nothing would have happened. You will see now. It was man. So, angels don't war in knowledge, they war in power. It is man that should have knowledge. So man will give this sound, both in the flesh and in the spirit. So notice, angels don't always carry out God's will, just like man. Let me say that again, I don't think you heard it. Angels don't always do God's will. I'm talking, not demons though, just like man. Now, I think it's settled that angels learn from man. Do you have a problem with that yet? Is that clear? Now, if the man they learn from does not always carry out God's will. Now, that means they were ignorant. There'll be things angels will do in ignorance, right? So angels don't always carry out God's will. They don't. They act in the sphere of man's influence. Let's look at a typical case. Luke's gospel, Zechariah. Hallelujah. Zechariah. Angels just know how to guarantee results. The way they go about it. Just get results. I've had something like that before. That is just get results. Just say, well, I need to win that game. And then you say, I want you to take out, you know, Messi. Without clearing it out, tell you, he'll just go and carry Messi literally. I'm not joking. And just say, boss is out. Are you following my point? No. They will say, who kidnapped him? Kidnap? Is this a kidnap? I don't think you got it. You say, you called your child. Where are you? I mean, so you better fly here now. You say, fly. Until you explain. Just get the door done. Now look at this one, Zechariah. Hallelujah. Understanding angels is something we have not understood for many believers. And be relaxed. Don't overrate angels. Hallelujah. What are you overrating angels? The angel of God. Can you imagine a son of God saying, the angel of God. Don't you need deliverance? Luke 12:13. Their shakara is too much. They have fell unto him an angel of the Lord, standing in the right hand of the altar of his incense. I always wonder why the angel is stood at the right hand of the altar of the incense. You see something now. Okay. And then he saw, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. He now says, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Notice that too. Thy prayer is heard. Their prayer is heard. You shall be great. A child shall be given. You shall be great. And all. So he said all that. Then notice what he says in verse 15. You notice that he didn't repeat this to Mary. Shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Shall be filled with the Holy Ghost for his mother's womb. Do you know that Jesus made light of this? The Son of Man has not come like John the Baptist. That you said that John the Baptist, he went to the wilderness, he was eating wild honey and all that. They said the Son of Man is drinking and eating with sinners. He made light of this. Do you know why? This angel, what the angel just did was, this guy is going to serve God. He just remembered the laws. That was what he did though. Look, see it now. Look at number 6. That instruction is not from God. Number 6. They always follow men. Now, Zechariah is a priest under the law. So, the angel is within his right to address the law. Number 6:3. All the separation shall eat nothing that is made of vine tree from the kennels even to the cross. He's talking about the Nazarene who will serve the Lord. So, he took it out. He will shave his hair. You will see that was what was done for Samson. This was the law, a Mosaic law. So he just repeated the same thing. Judges 13:4. Paul was an angel that said to Manoah, Judges 13:4. I pray thee, drink not wine or strong drink, or eat not any unclean thing. It's the law. Who gave the law? A man. So who was the angel following?
Who was the angel following?
Hey, now. We'll see their role too with Moses. So this is plainly a misinformation. But it's accepted. So that's how John grew up. Like a Rastafarian. You know, by that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, talked about Samson. He just said, by faith. He didn't see anything about his hair again. So, here we have. The angel just said that. And no problem. From his mother's womb, I think I've explained that to you before, so we don't have to go over that. Go back to Luke. Are you learning something? So don't always hook on the words of angels like God is talking. Okay? Look at it. He just wanted to get the results. And then, Zachariah, that's it. Whereby shall I know this? For my old man, my wife was thinking, I am Gabriel. Can you see anger? I am Gabriel. That's time is presence of God. I'm sent to speak unto you and to show thee this glad tidings. Behold, you will be dumb and not be able to speak on the day. That's anger now. He's getting his prayer answered his own way. That's his point. His anger. Now, compare and contrast. Okay? Look at what he says. And behold, thou shalt not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. Can you see it? Verse 20. You don't believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, Jesus, look, what is now different in what Mary said? Same angel. So a virgin espoused to a man whose name is angel, and hail thou, highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. She saw him, she was troubled. And said, fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall name Jesus. And went on. She now says, what is the difference in this question? How shall this thing be seen? I know. What did he say in 18 that she didn't say in 34? I'm asking a question. What could have made him act differently? Same angel, no? It's the same angel. Not another one, no? Is it bias? Because Mary, too, could have probably had a child without talking to anybody. Right? Or maybe he just felt she should be able to tell people. Because there was nothing she said that was different. How can I? And is there anything wrong in asking a question? Didn't they ask Jesus questions? Did he not answer them? So this angel was functioning under what? The law. Are we talking at all? I said you have a child. You know? So angels have limited light. They have limited light. They still do. They take things from man. Notice that with Eve, Satan got what he said from Eve. They had dimmed light. So that's where their words. I'm going to explain it tomorrow. Did you notice? Probably tomorrow. Did you notice that when Jesus was going to talk about the things concerning himself in the Old Testament, he didn't mention angels. He just said men. What men prophesied, not angels. Angelic utterances were not, there was no exegesis done on them. Hallelujah. Okay. We'll explain all that, why that tomorrow. Look at Hebrews 1:4. So, you will see that angelic actions are inconsistent. Where do you find inconsistency? Dim light. They're inconsistent. Hebrews 1:4. Let's come back to Christ. Praise God. Would you learn to trust Christ alone? Hallelujah. Some of us will say Christ alone, but angels sit at the back of our mind. we still respect angels. You know there are people that they still respect angels. Hebrews 1:4. Being made so much better than the angels, as they had obtained by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. Better. The word better is the word kreton in the Greek kreiton or kreison. Kreison. You'll find it used outside the book of Hebrews just two times or three times. 1 Corinthians 7:9. It's better to marry than to born. 1 Peter 3:17, and then 2 Peter 2:21. Better if they have not known. Now the word better is used a whole lot of times in this book, book of Hebrews. That means we have how many times? If we have three out, that's 12 times in book of Hebrews. It's from Kratos. Kratos. Dominion. So Kratos, Cretan, something about dominion is underlining. Someone that's over the other. Better. Look at the book of Hebrews, where it is used better. Hebrews 7:7, Old and New Covenant. Hebrews 7:19, Hebrews 7:22, Hebrews 8:6, two times. Hebrews 10:34, Hebrews 11:16, Hebrews 11:35, Hebrews 11:40. I'll go back there again. Hebrews 7:7, Hebrews 7:19, the word Cretan. Hebrews 7:22, Hebrews 8:6. That's two times in Hebrews 8:6. Of a better covenant. Hebrews 10:34. Hebrews 11:16. Hebrews 10:35 and 40. Hebrews 9:23. I missed that out. Then Hebrews 12:24. Better things than that of Abel. Now watch this. So, do you notice that the book of Hebrews, the way it started, said God was only time we are going to restructure that place. You know, the first thing he talks about, do you know that I thought it would have started with Moses. The first, you know, it was making, I mean, theologians have said that the book of Hebrews just means Christ is superior. Now, he started out with angels. Why? Who can tell me why? I mean, we can reason it out. Why is the letter blue sign with angels? Because spiritual entities usually are the most confusing. So it starts with, okay, let's start with the one that looks very supernatural. And he put them in their place. The ones that look the most supernatural. He said, more excellent. The word excellent is not when you say excellent like excellent like 100. Excellent here is to defy a more excellent name. Sorry, is the word dia. Dia already shows true. Dia, diaphoros, phoros, diaphoros, different or surpassing. You see it in Romans 12:6. We have gifts differing. Romans 12:6. Hebrews 8:6. More excellent, a different ministry. Hebrews 9:10. Diverse washings. Diverse, different. So he has a different name than they. Name is onoma. Onoma is used for position, character, but most importantly, reputation. So Jesus has a different reputation than angels. One is better. Notice what he's saying about him. Verse 2 and 3. He has spoken in his son. The express image of his person. Hallelujah. So he's saying that by saying that, you can see clearly that it differs from angels. So he says by inheritance, that word inheritance is used 18 times. Kleronomio, K-L-E-R-O-N-O-M-E-O, K-L-E-R-O-N-O-M-E-O. It means what is assigned to. Watch this. Hebrews 1:14, heirs of salvation. That word kleronomio used in Hebrews was only used for man. Hebrews 1:14, heirs of salvation. Hebrews 6:12, inherit the promises. Hebrews 12:17, inherit the blessing. Now, why did he use this? That means he had obtained a name assigned to who? Jesus obtained a name assigned to who? Man. Jesus' ascension to the right of the Father was to set things right. That was why it's far above all preservation and power and might. It's to set things in the proper place. To put angels where they belong. Hallelujah. You and I cannot afford to be understanding angels from the Old Testament. We will miss it. To put angels where they belong. Or they still do. Verse 3. He calls him the express image of his person. Go back to Hebrews 1:1. I've arranged that verse for you before. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past to our fathers. God cannot speak in types and shadows. Is that clear? At least you sorted that out. If you look, the original Greek does not have, you can't start a statement by using the word God. I remember it was Pastor Chris Okote that pointed out to me. We were having a discussion in the year 2000. He said, if you look at that verse, that in Greek etymology, you can't start a statement with God. I said, well, I never crossed my mind that I can't. So that Hebrews 1:1 just sorts it out. And I now went to see the original and say, it's true. It wasn't, God was in the middle. So if I'm going to sort that out, I'll say this. I'll say, look at this. The starting word. Okay, maybe I should open it. Maybe faster. Okay. At sundry times in diverse manners, the way the verse is that in sundry times in diverse manners, spake in time past the prophets unto the fathers. So it was the prophets that spoke unto the fathers. And that's consistent. There's nowhere you'll find God speaking in times of shadows anywhere. It is the prophets that spoke. Whether it's Luke 24, 25, 26, or 1 Peter 1, it's the prophets that spoke. They spoke about God, or they spoke of God in types and shadows. So, normally, you should end that verse with God. Do you understand? You understand? End that verse with God. So, verse 2 makes sense. As in these last days. Who is the verse? God. God as in these last days. Because the opening statement of verse 1 is N. E-N. In. So, the prophet spoke to the fathers. God spoke in Christ. The prophets are messengers. God's word is a man. Hallelujah. So, Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, 5. See how this writer dished angels. It's not difficult to not to agree that this is Paul, but it's not Paul. I believe so. Unto which, see the questions. Say now, unto which? You're not talking about prophecies. Unto which of the angels said he at any time, that at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Unto which? Now, let me ask you, this verse, incarnation or resurrection? Huh? Obviously, that's Psalm 2 verse 7. Then you find Acts 13, Paul quoted this verse, Acts 13, verse 36. No, Acts 13, verse 33, about the resurrection. Acts 13, 33, Again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. That's 2 Samuel 7:14. 2 Samuel 7:14. See how those things scattered. I will be his father, he will be my son. Verse 6. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. At what point was this? At what point was this? Huh? At what point? Huh? So, where did the angels comprehend God? Huh? Now, look at how the writer of Hebrews explains it. It says, the prophets spoke in types and shadows to the fathers. God has spoken in his son, who is the express image of his person. That is, if you want to see him, that's him. Now, again, in talking about him, he refers to him in two ways. The incarnation, but more explicitly, the resurrection. He's now saying that the resurrection becomes a school for angels. It becomes a school where angels learn. The resurrection becomes a school where angels learn. So, don't forget what Peter said. Do you know, everybody refers to the resurrection. Peter told us that they desire to look into at the resurrection, at the gospel of Christ. They want to look there. Look intently. And see what is revealed. Paul says, to the intent that is made known to the principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God by the church. And how is that done? Don't forget, that will be done through ministry gifts and the ministry in the local church. So, angels are wonderful servants, but horrible leaders. Don't ever entrust angels direction, insight. We'll see a couple of things tomorrow, no doubt. So, who is this man? He says he brought the first begotten. Now, when you hear first begotten, prototokos, first begotten refers to humanity and the resurrection of Jesus. Prototokos, man. So let all the angels do what? Before now, have you ever read angels worshiping anybody? I'm asking. Have you? No. Let all the angels. Do you know that even in the four gospels, we don't hear of angels worshiping Jesus? Allowed. By the resurrection, let all the angels, the word is proskeneo, proskeneo. It means to fall down in obeisance. To fall down. To fall down. What does that falling down mean? That's exactly what Paul taught. Ephesians 1. Look at how we taught it. It says, the eyes of the son of man, you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of what again? Inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward what we believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, resurrection, and set him his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, are you following? And power, and might, and dominion. All of them put together. Not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And had put how many things? All things under his feet. Now give relevant things to the church. His body. The fullness of him that filled all in all. So in redemption, things were reordered. Angels were placed in their proper place. Hallelujah. So what is it? Let all angels worship him. That is the man in Christ. Let all angels worship him. We'll see later why that angel screamed at John, hey, don't do this. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren. Worship God. Can you imagine? It's not good to be in isolation. Telling John, worship God. But you know that in the Old Testament, several men worshiped angels. Jacob. Abraham. I was just talking about Abraham 2 days ago. The guy said, he says, how did you see something like that? I showed him the two places where Abraham became wealthy. I said, we are going to finish that prosperity message. God help us. We'll preach Christ alone. Hallelujah. Charles Spurgeon said, there's no Christ in your sermon. Go back home. Until you have something reasonable to say. This is a go back home. Hallelujah. I saw people liking my post. I said, he's talking to you. I know you. He's talking to you. You can't be doing entrepreneurship service and say that there's no Christ in that. Amen. There's no Christ in that. Says we help people. Let's go back here. Hebrews 1. Hallelujah. And of the angels. So notice. So the emphasis is on the Son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, look at what's said by angels. They are ministers. They are ministers. Liturgios. They are to wait for instruction. Hallelujah. And the Son is revelation. They are to wait upon. That's what they are. We are sons. Glory to God. We are sons. So when I hear someone say, people should come out there, and he was saying it, and satellite television said, you know, that God showed him a vision. We explained that. Is it today? Sure. I think it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow. You know, and the man was so bold. And would have this, it's a Brazilian attitude. Form of godliness, you know. I said, the Lord said, many of you don't cover your head. And angels, if they see your head not covered, they'll come and sleep with you. So a guy was sleeping there when the friend's house, it was years back, and I asked the guy, which angels? The guy looked at me, why am I asking? I said, no, you say, what angels? He said, because angels in Genesis 6. I shook my head. I said, okay, let's assume it's true. Like we say in law, assume without conceding that it is true. That means that you must cover your head all through your life. Or is it that they only do it in church? You guys say, why are you asking this question? So they just wait for church service to grab people's wives and people's children. You guys say, but the man hears from God. I said, that is what he used for you. We'll talk about that tomorrow. What Paul said about it. That's why you have to be very careful. All these guys that have angelic encounters, go and write it. Go and find out. How did they say anything true? It's always nonsense. They come back to you. It's just like you going to United Nations to go and talk to the world. And they said, I want to give this speech that I learned from my 2 months old baby, or 6 months, or 1 year old. Everybody, what do you think we are doing here? Does this look like Sesame Street? Because you can't use such information to the church. Something you got from an angel. An angel should be talking and you say, wait, you are talking too fast. Go and read Colossians. Hallelujah. Why are you killing me? Go and read Colossians 2. Come back and tell me what you learned. Because they excel in strength. That was why Lucifer, as it were, let us assume that is Satan, in Genesis 3, was in Aram. He was acting in subtlety. Prudence, a wisdom that should have been found in man. He was asking questions that should have been a man's question. Hallelujah. Let's leave that. So quickly, Hebrews 1. Okay, I'll shorten this. Unto the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Scepter of thy kingdom, zero right to thy kingdom, thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God has anointed with oil of gladness above thy fellows. Notice that the word he saith, thy throne, O God, that's Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. God, thy God. Okay? God, thy God. That's something you should look at. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, even thy God. Do you understand that? Do you get it? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Then he says, therefore, God, thy God. Do you get it? What does that imply? Huh? You have in those statements both the deity and the humanity of Jesus. Do you get it? Huh? Look at it again now. Concerning his son, he says, thy throne, O God. Then he says, God, thy God. Does it sound okay? So he begins to talk about the earth. What he's saying? He's saying that there, you know what the other people is saying here? I feel him that there are no utterances for angels. That there's nothing. That all of our angels is ministering spirits. That the utterances in scriptures are for man. That angels are assisting in fulfilling God's plan in man. That's what they are. So Hebrews 1. Verse 10, the Lord in the beginning that has laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens and the works of the hands, that they shall perish, but thou remains, they shall all wax old as does the garment, and it went on. In verse 13, let's take verse 13 together, let's go. To which, say an angel sit. So if you see an angel sit, they say, stop! What are you sitting for? I'm tired. You can't be tired, stop! Just a joke. But says, to which of the angels did he at any time say sit? Praise God. It's not difficult because they are to stand, liturgios, right? Stand for instruction. Sitting means authority. Sitting means accomplishment. No. Angels don't sit. It's an authority status. Angels stand in authority. We, in Christ, we sit. Is that clear? Is that clear? And it was quoting Psalm 110 verse 1. Sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Remember the word right hand? Exalted. Right hand means one who is what? Exalted in authority. One that you give your authority to. So, God did not give angels authority. Is that very clear? Should I say it again? God didn't give angels authority. When they are called principalities and powers, they are general powers for man. By man. God did not give angels authority. God gave man authority. Sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. You know that everything we've read so far was about the resurrection. Have you observed it? So, where do angels know their levels? Where do they learn? Resurrection. They learn in the resurrection. That's where they learn. All the words were. So, let's take verse 14 together. Are they not all? Huh? Are they not all what? Sent forth to? So, they are being sent forth. Is this something that, sent forth, or who shall be sent forth? It's a past tense. That means in their making, they were sent to man. From that point, whatever you see about angels till today is going to be through man. From Genesis to Revelation. God, in his rest, has made angels man servants forever. He is now left for whatever became of angels, whatever becomes of angels, is within his interactions with man. You will see why some are senior to the others. It is via man. Are you there? So, angels are man's servants. Should I take that again? Angels are who? They are of God. Instead of God created them, but they are man's servants. I've asked myself, what would they be doing for God? Ah, I can't take that cup. Let me get to the kitchen. Is that what? It's not even, look at it very well. Let's go a bit more technical. Does God need to move before he's anywhere? No, I say I am going somewhere. Right? So I move from here to there. Does God do that? He is. So angels are in the earth. They are for the earth. They are for man. God doesn't, it's not to take God's message to somebody. No. They respond to man. Glory to God. That's why we'll see tomorrow that their activity is almost non-existent in the epistles. You know why? Because we have the Spirit of God. Almost non-existent. Hallelujah. So, angels are ministering spirits under man's care. Praise God. Does it make sense? I'll ask this quickly. Are angels still learning? Are they learning from you? So when you go and do evangelism, you see, that's why the Bible says that they rejoice. Don't overrate angels. Don't try it. It's not necessary. So if you see an angel in a dream, if I were to be Peter, I can never be anyway. Assuming it, I have to act, and then I see an angel showing me, what would that be? Say, go out of here. Okay, I'm not going. How would you insult me and be showing me animals? But he knew that Peter was a man given to the law, so he just used what he was studying. Because he was responding to someone's prayer. Whose prayer? Was he a Christian? I've told you now. Answered prayer is not an exclusive reserve of believers. Praise God. It's not. If it were, Jesus won't heal anybody. Right? They just touch and go and they were healed. Were they Christians? They even stoned him after. Hallelujah. By the time we look at what salvation is, and we're able to take it away from material things, we'll have true Christians. There are too many things seen in the material. I told you that everything, was it on Wednesday? That everything about the new covenant is where? In the spirit. But we shall like that Old Testament, those stories. Isaac. I have the prosperity of Isaac. I thought that thing, prosperity of Isaac. 14 weeks. Those are the things that you have seen that iniquity. I was like, that was deep. I never told you before. I think you remember you want to have nightmare. I said this. Prosperity of Isaac. Esau! Isaac had to, he was a blessing. He was a child of the spirit. You know what I say? Of the spirit. He was a child of old age. Don't let me go into it. He was mocked. He was mocked. You need to explain mockery. Mockery. Christ was mocked. Nothing. Those are the kind of things that Paul will say that you suffer loss. Me, I've already agreed I've suffered loss on it. So I don't agree. Say, judge yourself so I'll not be judged. Now I've judged it already. So there's no suffering loss. It's done. Hallelujah. So angels are what? They're man servants. Amen. Is that clear? So let's see in 10 minutes.